have no idea what a blessing it is to be here with you this morning. Kind of kind of chokes me up a little bit, really. We're family. And we thank God for the bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, I probably should tell you a little bit about what's been going on, what happened. It started with a very non-dramatic cut. That must have been 7 weeks ago. Cut it on a sink pipe. But there was some nasty stuff on that pipe. And I mean, it barely broke the skin. And, cleaned it up, didn't think anything of it. But turned into a massive infection. And a couple weeks ago, I found myself at emergency, and they had to give me, a surgeon had to work on my hand, and then there was a very aggressive antibiotic IV for about 30 hours, and then there was some other stuff. Apparently, the effects from the IV, there was some secondary issues. But you want to know who the real culprit was? I'll tell you who the real culprit was. You see, I have a little immune deficiency, no big deal, but I got some lazy white blood cells. And when they should be running, they're sleeping. No, I kid you not. I'm trying to explain this in non-medical terms. But they pull over to the side of the road and they sleep. And there's a fire, there's an infection. They're sleeping. And this got a little out of control. And then there was some other stuff. I was back in the hospital this week, and not out of the woods yet. But it's so good to be here. So that's the report. This morning, we're actually finishing up James, although we might have one more study just by way of review. But we're in James chapter 5 this morning. Beginning with verse 13, and we'll come down to verse 18. I'll read that passage for you. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. By the way, you'll notice that the theme all through these verses is prayer. Every verse that I'll be reading has the word prayer in it. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, that last part of verse 16 is a point of emphasis. Could you read that with me? We're going to read it one more time. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, here's an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We're going to go through this text in a moment, but you know, there's something on my heart I'd just like to say this morning. And that is this, something that Jesus said. I think of it often. He said, we are the salt of the earth. You and I We are the salt of the earth. You are the salt, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I'll tell you what this means. We probably know a little bit about salt. We know that it has healing qualities. We know that it imparts flavor. We know that it makes you thirsty. You see, there are a lot of things that salt does that the physical effect corresponds to the spiritual effect that salt has. And so we can understand why the Lord would say, you are the salt of the earth. And that is just as true of you as it is of me this morning. Your influence is important. Your influence is just as important as my influence. Sometimes we tend to exalt the position of pastor. And a pastor is a gift to the body. And we thank God for the many pastors. But listen, if you love Jesus and he is Lord of your life and you want to be right where he has you and you're driving a truck right now, you're not just a truck driver. Never say, I'm just this or I'm just that. Listen, you're a part of this wonderful plan that Jesus kind of characterized as the salt of the earth. And your influence is important. And who you are in Christ and what you're doing for him, that is what he's called you to do. That's all important. And don't minimize that. We have people that serve here. I'm so grateful for them, especially at a time like this, serve so faithfully. And I appreciate them so very much. But on the other hand, salt, it can break down. And if it breaks down, instead of having these wonderful qualities, it's really good for nothing but to throw on the ground and kill the lawn. A lot of people are killing the lawn these days. You know, they would use that salt that had broken down to make sure that on the pathways there, no weeds would grow and so forth. So you're the salt of the earth. And I wanted to remind you of that this morning. And I'm so glad that we have a church that desires to have these qualities and to be salt, to be the salt of the earth. Now, just wanted to say that to you this morning. Let's get to our text here, which says, is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Notice that we have two opposing emotional spectrums. Over here, we have the one that is suffering. And that specifically means suffering through difficult circumstances. And then we have over here someone that is cheerful. And things are going great. Whether you're cheerful or you're suffering, keep the Lord Jesus Christ front and center. Keep your eye fixed upon him. But even more importantly, make sure you're praying. Make sure that you don't get swallowed up in your own suffering and difficulty. So many of you are going through difficult circumstances this morning. Don't let them overwhelm you. Don't let those things block out your communication with the Lord. Keep praying. You know, Jesus said, you should pray and faint not. Then Paul the Apostle, pray without ceasing. You remember that? You say, what does that mean? I mean, I can't be praying all the time. Well, it means keep the Lord on the line, you know. Stay in touch with him. Maybe better to say, don't break the connection. You know, if you're a police officer, a soldier, in today's modern warfare with all of its technology, you're always in touch. You're always in touch with central command. And that's the way it should be with us. We can have conversations, you know, our day goes by, but we're always in touch with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, life gets real good, maybe too good, because you get caught up in the good stuff. You get caught up in, you know, your delights and things you like to do, and pretty soon Jesus just begins to fade right out of the picture. Be careful of that. Whatever side of the emotional spectrum, and we all suffer, but the Lord is careful to balance things out. Be sure that you keep Jesus front and center. And then we come to verse 14. Actually, I'm going to read these three verses together and make some comments. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now listen, there are several applications here. Of course, the main one is you're sick. Maybe you can't even get to church. Call for the elders. A long time ago, I had a lady kind of give me a little tongue lashing. And she says, Pastor, I was so sick, and you never came with the elders. And I said as gently and respectfully as I could, did you call for them? We call for the elders of the church. Most people, of course, know that. But here in this passage is a couple things that we don't often talk about in conjunction with it. If you're sick, you need prayer, call for the elders. But also, sometimes there's a direct link between what you are suffering from physically and sinful practices that you've indulged in secretly. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a substance that makes you feel good, but it's not good for you. It's an illicit substance. And nobody knows that you're using this substance. Nobody knows that you're doing these things. But the Lord surely knows. And sometimes using a dangerous substance, it catches up with you. But you know, even if that's the case, you can call for the elders of the church, but you need to confess. You need to tell them what's going on. So that the physical malady can be healed as well as the addiction itself. Sometimes there are people that have done something really, really wrong to someone else. Sometimes it's really mean, it's really vicious. You've offended that brother, you've offended that sister. And we need to get it dealt with. So really, that's primarily what James is talking about, confessing your faults one to another. You get together and you confess these things and you are prayed for and you are anointed. Remember, the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And there's so much that the Holy Spirit can do by way of healing and restoration. So those are important issues. But here's my heart this morning. Here's what sometimes really grieves my heart. People are obviously ill. And they come to church. Sometimes their children are ill. And they come and they don't get any prayer. Why is that? Why would they come and not ask for some prayer? Why would they bypass all of that? Now, I know that not everyone gets healed because God's will prevails. Sometimes there's reasons. Paul had a huge physical issue, but that was involved with a purpose that God had. You know, there are several instances in the New Testament where someone is assistant to Paul. Trophimus is one. Epaphroditus. Both of those guys got terribly sick. Paul had to leave one of them behind. So we understand that not everybody gets healed. But why would you not ask for prayer? Why would you not come up here? There's always men up here available to anoint with oil, just to pray with you, whatever your heart is. Why would you not do that? And when that happens, I'm grieved. Can't you just try a little prayer? You know, when all of this came down upon me, that was the first thing I did. I called a couple brothers here. I said, would you come and anoint me with oil? I knew this was a serious deal, and I wasn't trying to get out of it, you know. But nonetheless, and I'm so glad they prayed. In fact, the prayers that they prayed were very discerning. They're very encouraging. And there wasn't a healing. But you know, sometimes there is a healing. In my own family, 1989, the last weekend of May, my dad had suddenly been struck by cancer, and he had been undergoing chemotherapy protocols, and they thought maybe they could beat it, but one way or the other, he had 6 months to live. But I got a call on that weekend that I just mentioned. And it was my stepmom. And she said, John, your dad can't get his breath. And I could hear him gasping for air in the background. I said, hang up, call 911. I'll get there as soon as I can. I was some distance away. And I got to Torrance Memorial Hospital as quickly as I could. And there were some paramedic units parked there in the emergency entrance to the hospital. And I said, did anybody answer a call at 0 Eastfield Drive in Rolling Hills? And one of them said, yeah, that's us. I said, is my dad okay? They said, yeah, he just needed some O2. But why don't you go in and talk to the emergency room physician? So I went in and I introduced myself. And he said, I'm so sorry to tell you, John. Your dad will not survive this weekend. In fact, he probably won't live past 24 hours. What? What? What do you say? I knew my dad was ill. He's a fighter. The cancer in his body had jumped into his lung, never smoked a day in his life, good shape, 69 years old. I was devastated. And then he showed me the x-ray. You couldn't see his left lung, and only a little bit of his right lung. I called my sister, my brother-in-law, who is also a physician, and I watched him look at that x-ray. I watched his eyes, and I knew that there was no hope for my dad. I was finally able to see him much later that night. He was in an oxygen tent. He was alert. He was awake. You know what he said to me? I knew he knew the answer to the question. But he said, isn't there something in the Bible about calling for the elders of the church? I said, you want me to get him, Dad? He says, yeah, get him. So early the next morning, they showed up at the hospital. But there were things going on, things to do. And I said to this physician, I said, you know, my mom, she died two doors down from where my dad is right now on this floor. And I'd sure like to take him home. What's the difference? And the doctor said, sure, we'll get some morphine up to the house. And he's just got to stay on O2. And we don't have any small tanks right now. So we put this great big old green oxygen tank. Fortunately, he had an overhead hatch, you know, a skylight that retracted, and we dropped it in there. Man, it looked like a big smokestack coming out of his roof, and so all of the elders paraded behind him, and we got to his home. My stepmom said, "Who are all these people?" And I said, "They're elders to pray for my dad." We had a glorious prayer meeting, and there were a few prophetic utterances. Never forget it. And of course, we anointed my dad with oil, and all these fellas, we gathered around him and laid hands on him. And after we prayed, my dad said, "I don't need this anymore." He took the oxygen mask. I'm going, "No, Dad." But you know, he didn't put that back on for 3 months. God gave him a glorious extension of his life, and incredible things happened in those 3 months. I wish I had time to tell you the story. I'll tell you one. He got it in his head that he was going to call employees that he had never shared his faith with, and other acquaintances. And of course, they all thought he was crazy. You know, he'd say, "You know, Bill, I'm going to heaven real soon, and I want you to be there with me. Won't you receive Christ?" And they couldn't get him off the phone fast enough. But you know, we found out 5 years later that a decorated World War II veteran, the day after he spoke with my dad, he knelt down in his living room and he received the Lord. 6 months later, he was in eternity. And it was a direct result of the conversation on the phone. You never know what the Lord's going to do. So, this guy, I believe in the anointing of oil, the laying on of hands. And I believe there are instances where God heals. But Why not come? Why not get some prayer? Why not find out what the Lord might do? Well, we continue here in verse 16. Didn't read the last line. Get your place. The line begins with fervent. And I want you to read that line with me. I beg your pardon. The line begins with the effective. You see it? Okay, we're going to read that line together. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now here comes an example of the kind of prayer that James seems to be talking about. But there's something very important to notice. It said Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he's like us. You know, sometimes we think, you know, my prayers are nothing. We got to get one of the big guns. But I'll tell you, if you are righteous in Christ Jesus and you have a passion, your prayer will be effective. It's true. God hears every prayer. And if we pray in faith, believing, no telling what God might do, even with someone that's brand new in Jesus. But it says, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now we know from the account in 1 Kings chapter 17 that the wicked king Ahab and his very wicked wife Jezebel, they had led the people into complete spiritual apostasy and idolatry. The nation of Israel is now worshiping Baal. And Elijah said, we got to bring some spiritual discipline here. And so he prays, and it stops raining for 6 months. And everybody's wondering, why isn't it raining? And then Elijah shows up at the door of King Ahab. Elijah, he bows before God, but he doesn't bow before this wicked king. And this wicked king would like nothing better than to cut him up into little pieces. And Elijah said, it's not going to rain for a long time. 3 years. That's a drought. And that's a big drought. Well, we come to the end of the 3 year mark. And God told Elijah, it's going to rain, but we got to take care of some business. So anyway, they end up having a big convocation at the summit of Mount Carmel. And at this convocation, Elijah, he confronts these people. He says, you wobblers. I think I just made that up. But they're just kind of wobbling, you know? They're thinking, the God of Israel, nah, Baal. Couldn't make up their minds. Elijah said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people didn't have the guts to speak up and say, okay, we'll follow the Lord. They're just so double-minded. And then Elijah said, well, you know, here's what we're going to do. we're going to drag two big old bulls up here on the top of this mountain. We're going to cut them up. And this bull, it's going to be Baal's. By the way, Baal, he's the storm god. And this one here, it's going to be the Lord's. And we're going to give Baal the first opportunity. What we're going to ask them to do, first Baal and then the Lord, is to send fire from heaven and consume these bulls. So, you guys who are prophets of Baal, we got 450 of you here today. You go first. And they start crying out to Baal. And then Elijah, he starts to needle him a little bit. He says, I don't think he can hear you. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's in the bathroom. But, you guys got to try a little harder. And pretty soon they were cutting themselves. Blood was flowing. And they kept that up for probably 3 hours. Baal never said a word. Now it's Elijah's turn. One prophet against 450 prophets. But this prophet represents the Lord God of Israel. Now, there's a precious part of that story that I just want to bring to your attention. I'm trying to summarize it for you. But it says that before Elijah prayed to the Lord, that he built up the altar of the Lord. It had fallen down. It had kind of crumbled. And it was in disrepair. And so Elijah said to the people, come close to me. And so he fixed up the altar, which brings up, I suppose, an important question. Do you have a prayer altar? Do you have a place where you go and pray? Do you have a place where you meet with the Lord, where there's no TV, there's no cell phones, no techno gadgets, just you and the Lord? You have a place like that? I suppose some of you would say, or would, you know, expect me to say, do you have a war room? Seen that movie? Pretty cool. But I like an altar. I like that. Where we can just offer up as sacrifices, our psalms and our praises and our prayers. Well, you probably know the story. It's such a great story. If you don't, you should read it. But fire came from heaven. And that was after they'd saturated this bull, man. They covered it with water. You say, where'd they get a water? Well, They're not terribly far away from the Mediterranean Sea, and they probably hauled it up there. But Elijah made it real hard. Of course, that's what they're thinking. Hard for God? Come on. And that thing just evaporated in a... Some people think it was kind of like a nuclear blast. I mean, all the people went nuts. They all started to shout, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And the prophets of Baal were captured and executed, and there was an opportunity for a new beginning, but things are still pretty parched. But God says, I'm going to send rain. So right up there on that mountain, Elijah got into a prayer, into a position of prayer where, you know, if you looked at him, he looked like a woman that was about to give birth. And he just began to pray with great intensity. And after he'd prayed for a while, he said to his servant, he said, go out there and look. Go out there where you can, you know, get a 360 degree perspective of the sky. Is there a cloud anywhere? He came back, said, no. Just a gray, leaden sky. They did that six times. Elijah was so persistent. Be persistent in prayer. Sometimes you have to do that. But Elijah was persistent. And on the seventh time, the servant said, you know, I thought I saw a little cloud up there. Not very big, doesn't look like a rain cloud. Elijah said, let's get out of here. Storm's coming. And the heavens opened up, and we see the result. He prayed again. The heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Wow. Now, as I bring this study to a conclusion this morning, I do want to say this, and I suppose, you know, I say it in light of having spent some real quality hours with the Lord, but it should be no secret to anyone in this room that the enemy is wreaking havoc upon the church. And there still continue to be, we don't hear it in the news as much, unspeakable things being done to our brothers and sisters in the Mideast, even still in some parts of Africa. It continues today. But you know, he's after the West too. He's after the church in the United States. He just wants to wreck it, kill it, and bury it. He's not going to do that. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know who said that? Jesus said that. Gates of hell are not going to prevail against my church. And their church is going to come forth glorious. You know, I'm a bit of a prophecy buff. We haven't taught much on prophecy here lately. But I think about how close we are to the return of the Lord, where he comes to get his bride. And I'll tell you, when you've been in a situation where you're suffering and where you're a little isolated from things, you know, you begin to really think about that and how glorious it's going to be when Jesus appears. And we're there and we see the fullness of his glory. We can't even begin to comprehend. And we're getting close, and I can say I long for that day. I long to see him. I long to be with him. But until that day comes, we'll fight on. We'll fight for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something that, you know, I want this church to be so well-equipped and so healthy and so strong, not just for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, especially our brothers and sisters here in North Long Beach. And I will tell you, the church here in North Long Beach, not our church, we are so blessed, but it's been beat up. You know, there are some good, thriving churches in North Long Beach, and I don't want to paint an overly dark picture, but I can show you a couple of churches that were thriving just 3 years ago, and they're boarded up. There's one just five blocks from here, big church. I know of a church that was looted by its leadership, and they left it with nothing. Thankfully, there's a very affluent church from another community that's trying to get it going again, but it's been so tough. Pastor friend of mine heard that I was sick, and he said, you know, John, there are so many pastors that are sick in this region. It's kind of like, well, that's not exactly what I wanted to hear, but, you know, we have great compassion for these men of God and what some are going through and what churches are struggling with right now. Man, I want our church to be strong for those churches. I want our church to be a blessing to those churches. And of course, we talk about this from time to time. I want this church to be a blessing to the community of North Long Beach. I want this to be a place where there is salvation, there is healing, and there is restoration. We're going to go through various crises. We're all going to have our moments. I'm not out of the woods yet, but it'll pass. But collectively as a body, I want us to be very strong and to be very healthy so that we can help the hurting, so many hurting people. So may the Lord help us today. May the Lord help us to understand that spiritual health and spiritual strength, we have it in Jesus, but we need to guard it. And we need to be as strong as we can be. Not as strong as we can be because we've got a good diet plan and, you know, we eat healthy food and so forth, but we need to be as strong as we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. May he help us to be the church that he wants us to be.